Well, welcome to the feast. I'd like to begin today turning to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. So we start to talk about celebrating the feast. Deuteronomy chapter 14, we're going to pick it up here in verse 22. It says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, of all the firstborn of your herds, your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for the money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine, for similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. And at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." Now, I want you to think about this. We're not going to spend time to talk about every point and every aspect of these verses. There's so much in here when you really start to look at the phrases and you really start to look at some of the things that God commands. But I want you to notice some of the things with me here that God says. First of all, in terms of gathering, to gather together of your increase. Now, hopefully that you've come here, you have some money to spend, right? Most of us, how many of you actually have grain and new wine, oil, firstborns of your herds and flocks? How many of you have that at home? Nobody? Not even a single one of you? Wow, isn't that amazing? We've gotten so far away from doing our own things, so everybody else is producing our food for us. But it's an interesting thing that you would have this. So we all had to gather up our money, right? We get paid in terms of money. We do things. We have the money to come and to take and to gather an increase. And so he says, exchange it for money and spend it on whatever your heart desires. That's a very luxurious command, isn't it? What do you want? What is it that you can take? You've been working hard. I've been blessing you. If it's too much, I want you to get it into money. I want you to take the money wherever you're going. Spend it on whatever you want. Have a great time. I want you to celebrate and have a great time. I want you to have your heart's desires. Now, I like certain things. And one of those things is the little sweet treats, the candies that, you know, the kids get them, but sometimes the adults don't get them. But see, I know certain people like certain things. Like, I know Greg Beagle. I see Greg Beagle. And I saw this Snickers bar right here. Now, look, Rock Valley is losing weight for God, right? So we've all been dieting, right? So you get the smaller version this year. But I'm going to... Nice catch, John. See, that's good. And say, where's Brad Lucenhide? Because as soon as I see this, Brad and me have a thing. We know the Milky Way reigns supreme. Okay? Too many peanuts in the Snickers. We like the caramely nougat soft deliciousness of a Milky Way. When I see this nasty coconutty almond mounds thing, I think of one person. And it's my friend Scott Sharpin, because he likes to eat that. I'm like, dude, you got Milky Way, you got almonds here, you've got a Kit Kat, and you want the coconut, right? What do you want? I got a Kit Kat. You want a Kit Kat? Oh, Kit Kat right there? No? Oh, Almond Joy. Oh, you want an Almond Joy? Oh, here we go. Here's the Almond Joy. All right. Anybody else want anything? I've got like M&Ms, and who likes M&Ms? Oh, right back there. You, sir. Whoa, oh, look out. Yo, did you see that? That was like a knuckleball. It's like World Series season. I was really curving that one. I got a milk chocolate with almonds in here, too. Whoa, right here, right there. Wait. Your sister wanted one too, didn't you? You wanted one right there. Hey, guess what? There is one for everybody. Everybody can have one, whatever you want, but just one. And you need to listen to the sermon, though, first, because you have to actually tell my wife something that you learned in the sermon, and then she'll give you one. So you come see her afterwards. But I love the idea that what God is doing is saying, hey, I got all this stuff. I want you to have it. I want to bless you. I want to give to you. You know, it kind of goes back to the garden. When he took Adam and Eve and he created them and he placed them in the garden, he said, all these things that I've created, all these trees I've made, all this fruit and produce, whatever you want, it's yours. Except for that one tree, you can eat of any of it. I mean, just the idea that God is so giving, so sharing of everything that he has, everything that he wants to do, that God wants to be sharing things together. So notice what he says. He says, so you should spend out whatever your heart desires. And what does that usually do? It makes you happy. When Greg saw that Snickers flying at him, you should have seen the look on his face, right? It's happiness. It's like, woo, my Snickers is coming home, right? I see Carol right now. She's got a huge smile. She's rejoicing back there because she's having something that she really enjoys. There's a point that God wants us to see in this feast that, hey, have some fun, rejoice, celebrate. I want you to be thinking about a celebration because that's what I'm doing. I'm celebrating some great things at this feast, and I want you to celebrate, and I want you to have what you want, so we can have a good time together. Next, notice what he said. Consider those in need, what they might desire. How many of you are here, don't have a regular association with the people at Rock Valley Christian Church? Like, this is like a whole new thing. Raise your hands high, please. Raise your hands high. Okay. Look at the people, all you Rock Valley people, look around. Please raise your hands high again. All right, there are people here who may not know anybody else. I know I haven't met some of you yet, right? There are people here that are new. I would say they're kind of like strangers coming in, brethren, we hope, right? And we want to get to know them. Rock Valley, this is a great time for us to host. So when you look at people that you haven't seen before, this is a great time to make everybody welcome. Right? To think about that. God says when you come to the feast, look at that. But it's not just people that are visiting because, hey, we're all kind of here together, right? We can all host each other. But there are people that have financial needs who are here that maybe could use help just having a meal, sharing some fellowship and a meal together. There are people that are here that are single. You know, I'll tell you one thing you learned in church situations, sometimes it's the single people that get ignored the most. Right? So could you think about them? So God's saying, I want you to come. I want you to have a great time. I want you to be celebrating. I want you to be happy and rejoicing. And then I want you to think about other people. Because as I have blessed you and done these things for you, I want you to think about other people and blessing them. So can you be a committee of one to say, I want to do this here while I'm at this feast. I want to think about others. I'm going to look around. I'm going to see somebody being ignored. Maybe people are here and they're very shy. Sometimes you have to be the one that goes up and talks to them and encourages them and invites them out for meals. Notice it says the Levite too. You know, so if you get to help in teaching, I should have lots of invites. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's throw the Levite thing out. I want to go out to dinner with you. So let's have a good time and have a celebration. But to consider those in need and what they may desire. And then I want you to turn with me now to the book of Deuteronomy 16, just over here, page. And look at what it says here in Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. You just love that. God's saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you because I want you to be rejoicing. Be rejoicing because of the blessings. These things go together. All that God has when he brings us together for these feasts. Verse 16, 3 times a year, all your male shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Now, in order for this Feast of Tabernacles to be successful, it requires each person giving of what they're able. That's the way it works. If it's just 1, 2, 4, 5, even 10 people doing all the work, it's not going to be what it could be if every person gives as they are able. So as you come here, and God has been blessing you throughout the year, and God has been working with you and teaching you and blessing you in what you're doing, what can you do with it now that you're here? What can you give now that you're here? What can you offer to somebody? And already, look at all the people that have given of themselves. I know Brad and the worship team that's up here, Brad and Eric on the drums, they prepare and plan. And Stephanie and organizing the music, there's been a lot of preparation just to have that worship that we got to enjoy. You know, some of us, we just get to show up and we get to take advantage and take in of the offering of somebody else. And it's good that we do that. It's good that people share their offerings and that we can take in of it. I'm asking, what can you bring to this feast? What can you do to lighten someone's burden, to pray for someone, to talk with someone, to have fellowship with someone? What can you do? What are you able to do? Every person shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of God. Consider the blessings with which God has given you, and consider, how can I share what I have with somebody else while I'm here? I assure you, you all have something to give. And I want you to give that offering while you're here. Turn with me over to the book of Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35 is a chapter where God wants an offering to be brought forward to build the tabernacle. He's building the tabernacle, and the first thing he does is he asks for an offering to be brought forward. Notice this in Exodus 35, verse 4. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord." So Scott mentioned that in Corinthians. It talks about when you come, don't give grudgingly. You know, if you give an offering grudgingly or you feel like, oh, I got to put something in the basket, take the offering back, because that's not a good offering. You shouldn't give grudgingly. You shouldn't do it because you have to. Do it because you want to. Do it with a willing heart. And when God calls for an offering, he's commanding an offering to be taken, but he says, whoever has a willing heart. That is how you should do things. So when I encourage you today to give of yourself, to give of your offering, I say too, if you have a willing heart to do it, give that offering. So this is the thing which the Lord commanded again. Verse 4, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be in the ephod and the breastplate. And all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent, its coverings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark and its poles, with the mercy seat and the veil of covering, the table and its poles, all its utensils, the showbread, also the lampstands for the light, its utensils, its lamps, the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacles, the altar of burnt offering with its bronzing grating, its poles, all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, their sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs for the courts and their courts, the garments of ministry for the ministering of the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, the garments of his sons, to minister as priests. And I read that kind of fast because that's an incredible list, isn't it? We're getting into a lot of details. When he's not just saying take up an offering, but take up an offering. We have need for all these different things. You know, when we talk about the feast and we talk about coming, even when we have a little registration form, we ask, hey, what can you offer? What can you bring here? Now, some of you filled it out, some of you didn't. But again, I know that there's something you have. There are so many needs that come up when you start to look at what do people really need while they're here. See, it would be a mistake if you spent it only on yourself, if you spent all this time just for you, and you didn't think about other people. You would miss something so important about the feast and why God has us go through this process. If you're only thinking about me and what can I get and who makes me feel good and what makes me happy, you might be missing a point that God wants us to see about what are the real desires in our heart. What is it we really want? When we take the time out to think about the desires of our heart, do we end up where the instruction ended up? Thinking about those who don't have a portion, those who didn't have a place of their own, those who needed to be taken care of. Did we consider what we could bring? When God says, whoever's of a willing heart, He's asking, do you desire this? Do you desire this? Do you have a willing heart to give? If you do, then bring these things. And I'm saying that you will see so many things while you're here where you have the power in your hand to grant it. And I encourage you, grant it if your heart is willing. Grant it to give. So notice what he says then in verse 20. So when the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, now notice this. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. It's such an emphasis of God in these verses to make sure we know everybody who's willing, everybody whose heart is stirred, who has that desire. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for all the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of service brought it. So think about that. You're saying, okay, what do I have? Well, you know what? I don't have gold, but I've got all this acacia wood out back. I can bring that for the offering, right? Right? And somebody say, well, I don't have the wood, but I've got this awesome blue and scarlet thread. And that's going to be great, right? It's needed for the building of the tabernacle. When you look at yourself, you take inventory. What do I have? What can I do? What can I give? And see, it's a very exciting thing when your heart is willing and your heart is stirring. What can I give to God? What is the offering that I can present unto Him? I want to give it. And He said, look, at these feasts, none shall appear before me empty-handed. Everyone shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord. So notice this. So then, verse 25. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands, and brought what they spun of purple or blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. So, notice that. All the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom. They had a special ability to do something. They said, our ability could be used for building this offering. I know that I can do this, so I'll do it. They weren't the ones maybe bringing the gold or the silver or the bronze, but they had a gift, a talent of work, of labor that they could bring forward, and they used that. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. Do you notice how, just in these verses, how many times God talked about the heart, the willingness, the wisdom of the heart, the stirring of the heart? That's what He is looking for in the offerings that we give, and the offerings that we come with before Him. Verse 30, Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah. And He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And He has put in his heart, again notice, the ability to teach in him and in Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer, of the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work, and those who design artistic works, and Bezalel, and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. Wow. I get really excited when I read these verses, because I realize when you have a willing heart and are stirred, you can have an expectation of God filling that heart with wisdom, with understanding, and with creative ability. Amen. How many of you operate your own business? Okay, that's a pretty good percentage. How many of you work in a job where you have to make a lot of decisions? Sometimes really tough decisions that you don't see the easy way out. My wife has her hand the highest. I'd say most everybody does, right? Even if you're going to school and taking classes, sometimes you have decisions, you're having to try to solve problems, having issues. I want you to think about this, that if your heart is willing to be developed to give to God, if your heart is stirred to want to give yourself to Him, that you can ask for His Spirit to drop into you the creative ideas to help you solve problems. The creative inspiration, and maybe even the creative inspiration to teach others how to solve problems. See, when I think about these verses, I think about them in the sense of my own work. How many times I've been at my office and I just have to just stop what I'm doing. I'm up against it. It's so hard. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to solve this issue. And you come to that great place in life where you say, I give up. I don't know what to do. Is that me? Well, sorry about that. I give up. You come to that place, though, where you give up and you just say, God, I need your help now. God, I want to work hard. I want to be successful. I want to solve this. But I have to have more from you. I don't know how to solve it. And God has never, never let me down. He's always given me an idea. And sometimes it's amazing how an idea can come into you and you see it and you're like, why didn't I see that right away? This wasn't even that hard. It was just, I just didn't see it. The solution was there. The idea was there. The creativity was there. I just had to ask Him for it. The creative inspiration. That He can cause your heart to know how to do things, to design things, to solve things, to make things beautiful. God wants you to know how to make things beautiful. And to have that offering, that these could come, these gifted artisans whose hearts the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And notice verse 3, and they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary, so they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring in much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, it was too much. That's really cool, isn't it? We have something we want to do. The Lord wants us to bring an offering. People are so excited. And you say, we have to tell them to stop. We have more than enough material to accomplish everything. What a principle of abundance when a heart is willing to do what the Lord would have us do. His ability to bless. His ability to make it greater. His ability to take what He has and give to us. And to realize that in the making of this tabernacle, there was such a development of the people in what He was doing. Maybe even more than the physical tabernacle itself. Who is the temple of God today? Where does the Lord abide today? What is God's work today? What is He perfecting and beautifying today? When you think about your place before God, you're called to be a living temple, a living tabernacle, where the Lord dwells. That's interesting when you look in John 1. Turn with me to John 1. John 1 and verse 14. I'm just going to pick up one verse here. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Talking of how great the Word was. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that word there, dwelt, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that literally means to dwell in a tabernacle. He came and dwelt in a tabernacle. The Word, as it says in verse 1, who was with God and was God, came and dwelt in something just like this. This body of flesh and blood. This body that we have, that we are tenting in, that we are tabernacling in. Jesus came to be in a tent with us. And His name is Emmanuel. Now, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, and notice here beginning in verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And we were singing this song about holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Take my heart, right? Form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it. Here's instruction that God gives. Do you really want this done? Then let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. What are the desires of your heart? What are the things that you want? Because He's saying, if the desires are selfish, selfish ambition, if they're conceit, trying to elevate yourself, that's not the place He wants you to be. How are you going to give an offering with that heart, with that spirit? But rather, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. Verse, consider those who are in need, what they may desire. Give as you're able according to God's blessing. Do you think, will you look and say, what can I give to someone else? But this mind, he says, let this mind, verse 5, be in you which was in Christ Jesus. This mind. This mind of having and giving and looking to others. Notice he says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. In other words, he started tabernacling among us. Can you imagine how humbling that is? For the Word, who was with God and was God, who made everything, seen and unseen. In fact, it says there was nothing made that wasn't made by Him. All of a sudden, He's in the form of His creation. He emptied Himself to be in His creation. Would you agree that's a very humbling thing? To go from being God to being man? I would say that would be very humbling. And your attitude could be, hey, I've already humbled myself a lot. Right? You ever done that? Like, I've already stooped down enough. Sometimes humanly we're like, hey, I've humbled myself as far as I'm going, buddy. And it's like, I've come down to this level, and there's where we start our, you know, our new foundation of conceit, right? This is my level. I can't go any further. But Christ says, no, I'm not only going to come in the form of flesh. I'm not only going to be taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, verse 7. Verse 8, but being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. A shameful death. A terrible death. It's one thing to empty yourself of who you are in your form. It's a whole other thing to humble yourself among men to say, even though I have the power to stop you from what you're about to do, I won't. Even though he said, Father, if there be any way possible for you, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours. He humbled himself. He went through with the knowledge of everything that was going to happen. You know, sometimes our great humilities come in our ignorance. His came with full knowledge of what he was going to set down and full knowledge of what would happen once he did it. I want you to think about the increase that Jesus had. He's the Creator. The all-powerful Creator who made everything seen and unseen. And basically what he did was he cashed it all out. He cashed it out. Because he was going to make a journey to come and dwell in a tent and tabernacle among us. He cashed himself out of his glory, of his power, of his honor. He cashed himself out of all the omnipotence that he had to come in the form of a babe to tabernacle among us for a journey that he had, that he knew he could take of his glory and his power and his might, that he alone could come to this earth and tabernacle among us, that he alone could lay down his life for his creation and reconcile all things in heaven and in earth by his own shed blood. He cashed it all out and he spent it on his desire, friends. The desire is you. The desire is you. You see, because when he came to spend it, when he came to rejoice, it says in Hebrews, he said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. But for the joy set before him, the joy was you. He came and emptied himself of his glory to tabernacle among us in the hope that we would tabernacle with him. And what did he do with all that power but consider those in need? The ones who had no portion, the Levite, who had no land of their own, who were dependent on God to give, the stranger, right, who didn't have their own place, who needed somebody to be kind to them, the fatherless, who was taking care of them, who was providing for them, the widow without the husband. He came for us. The needy. We had need. We had great need. God has His power and He uses it to help those in need. And friends, sometimes it's so easy to get used to being on the receiving end of God meeting needs that we forget that we are to be just like Him, His children. Taking every bit of power, every bit of wealth, every bit of who we have, our talents, our abilities, our friendship, our fellowship, our listening ear, and granting it to someone else who's in need. See, the reality of what God is doing here and what God is showing through Jesus Christ is that in order to tabernacle among us, in order for there to be fellowship and rejoicing, there has to be this giving of ourselves. Christ is the perfect example for us of taking of everything for the giving to somebody else. What have you been given? what have you developed to give? You can isolate your lives from others. You can hide in a cocoon. You can even hide through this feast if you want to. But what will that do? And see, all that we go through here is just to learn that much bigger lesson of life. Friends, this is life. To take of your increase, to have it as a blessing before God, to shape your desires before Him. Say, what are your desires? What is your will? What do you want, God? And then see how we can spend it for somebody else. How can we bring and help someone else? Take care of them. Because God says, that's what I do. Jesus could have just stayed on His throne of glory. The Father could have made Him stay. That wasn't the course they took. It's so easy to go that way, isn't it? God's been through a lot of heartache. You notice that as you serve more and you expose yourself more, you realize there's more heartache. But you can never let it stop the willing heart, the stirred up heart, to continue to give offering after offering after offering, to help, to love, to encourage, to exhort, to edify. What can you do for someone else? Notice, as we continue on here in Philippians, it says, therefore, because Jesus did this, verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. The path to exaltation is through humility. It's not for taking for the self. It's through humility. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, because of all these things, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You are the tabernacle He's building now. You are the one that He is having all the gold for, and the silver for, and the bronze for, and all the materials. He is the one that is taking those things and working in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do you see your life as before Him? Is your desire, is what's stirring in you now saying, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, come and work in me. Shape me, form me, transform me. Help me to walk in your ways. Help me to walk in your image. All that I get upset about, all that I care about in this world, let it be gone and let me focus on you. Because in everything, God, I want you to work in me. And when He says, when you bring forth this blessing that's spoken of in Deuteronomy 16, He says, for the Lord will bless you in your work, so you shall rejoice. And everyone shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord. In other words, God is willing to bless you. How far do you want to go with Him? How willing is your heart? How stirred are you to say, bring it on, God? Even if it means you've got to start with plowing. Even if it means you've got to break up some hard soil. Let's do it. Because what I want is in you. And if I reserve my heart and the desires of my heart to leave them with the cares of this world, to leave them with selfish ambition and conceit, if I leave that land hard, then what will I be able to bring to you in the day I stand before you and I give you the offering of myself? That would be an offering of regret, wouldn't it? Well, I could have done more. I could have yielded more of myself for your development. Each day, can you add on the back 40? Can you add on a little more land? Can you add on a little more to God? Who knows in what many miraculous and mysterious ways He'll bless you and give you the opportunity to help more and more in this cause of bringing others to Him that He may tabernacle with them. Let's finish in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Jesus forsook his portion in order that we would have a portion with him, that we would be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that we would have life with him, that we would be his children, that he would tabernacle among us, that we would have this fellowship with him. And you realize when he promises that he takes it all away, all the death, all the pain and the suffering and the sorrow, you realize it's because he poured it all out for us. And we responded by pouring ourselves out for him. Because when each person has a desire in their heart, not for the things of this world and the lusts of the flesh or the eyes or the pride of life, but when each person's desire in their heart is to grow in power and glory and might in order to share it with someone else, to give to someone else, to look out for someone else, you can say there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more death. Because the way of life of these people, we, brethren, is that we give it all for Him. And all to others. It's the way of peace. It's the way of life. And it begins with these very desires in our hearts. Spend it on whatever you want. Rejoice in what He's given. And may your desire carry over to giving to others. That this be a great feast. That this be a great life. And that we have that time with Him in the air. When we are always with Him. When we see Him face to face. And when we know Him. As He knows us. He is the great God. He is the one who is so awesome. He deserves every bit of our respect, every bit of our adoration. And we should give all homage to Him. Let's praise Him.